Okay, we're picking up the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph. We are on the second line, the second word. The Gemara starts off asking a question on Shitas Beis Shammai. The Gemara asks on the Beis Shammai in the Mishnah, V'savri Beis Shammai, Debrikas Yom Adifa. Our Mishnah told us that Beis Shammai says that you say the bracha first of Mekadesh Shabbos and then Bor Pergafen. And so that showed that you give chashivus to the bracha of the yom first. However, the Gemara is now asking a kasha. V'atanya, the Braisa says, "Anichnas lebeis motzei Shabbos." Now we're dealing with on motzei Shabbos. Shabbos is over. Mevarach al yain v'alamar v'basamim. First, you say the bracha on bor pergafen, and then bor mereish, and then besamim. V'rakach havdala, and only after then you'll make havdala. V'im ein lakos echad, and if you only have one cup of wine, manich la'achar mazon, you leave it till after you say your benching. And then you say Berachas Hamazon over this cup of wine, and then he'll say all of the brachas after benching, after then many say benching, in that same order would repeat afterwards. Now, we're assuming that this is Shitas Beit Shammai, and when it came to Kiddush, we said that Beit Shammai says you say the Kiddush first, and then say Bor Pergafen. So why over here does Beit Shammai assume that you are first making the Havdalah, and then you, first say Bor Pergafen, and then you make the Havdalah? Why shouldn't it be the opposite? Just like we have by Kiddush. So the Gemara asks a second, wait a second, where did you assume that this was Beit Shammai? Where do you have a raya from this braisa that this is Shitas Beit Shammai? We don't have any raya that this is Shitas Beit Shammai, maybe this is really Beis Hillel, and you don't have any proof that Beit Shammai holds that you'll say the Bor Pergafen first. So the Gemara says no. You can't assume that this braisa is the Shita of Beis Hillel, because the braisa specifically said you make a borei meraish and then you make a borei minei misamim. Uman shemet la deislei haisvar, and who holds that you make a bracha of borei meraish and then borei misamim? That is Shitas Beit Shammai. The sign of the braisa says, Amrei Buddha l'nocha v'shamah Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you have havdalah and benching on a single cup, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel only have one machlokas. They both agree that fundamentally you'll bench first and then you make havdalah last. Their only machlokas was a manat la ma'or v'al besamim. They only have a machlokas. At what point do you say bor mera'ish and when do you say bor besamim? Beit Shammai says that you say omre mor v'acharach besamim. They'll say bor mera'ish and then bor besamim. However, Beis Hillel says you say besamim v'acharach ma'or, and you say the bracha of borei b'nei besamim and then borei mera'ish. So we see over here that according to Beis Shammai, we say that you make borei mera'ish and then borei besamim, and that lines up with the previous braisa. However, Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is understanding that you first make the bracha of borei besamim and then borei mera'ish. That would not line up with the braisa. So it has to be that this is Shitas Beis Shammai, thus validating our kasha that this is Shitas Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai have this understanding that you should say havdalah after you say borei pergafen when they don't say that by Friday night? So the Gemara now says, but wait a second. This was Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of the machlokas Beit Shammai Beis Hillel. However, Duma Beis Hillel Valiba Rabbi Meir. We have another shita that was Rabbi Meir mentioned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah assumed that the machlokas, according to Beis Hillel, that you, when you make a bracha, what do? You say borei mera'ish, then borei mera'samim, and then benching, and then havdalah. So we have that according to him, you'll say borei mera'ish first, and then you say besamim. So that would line up very nicely with the braisa. So why don't you assume that Shitas Rabbi Meir, which is again is our Mishnah, and his presentation of Machlokas, maybe that is really Beis Hillel, and that braisa could be according to Rabbi Meir as being Shitas Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Lo saka daitach. You can't assume that this braisa is Beis Hillel according to Rav Meir. Dektani acha b'asisim, because our Mishnah, again, which we're assuming is Shitas Rav Meir, says that Beit Shammai omrim neru mazon besamim v'havdala. That according to Beit Shammai, when you say benching and havdala over one cup of wine, you say the ner, first bari minora eish, then you say benching, then you say bari minora samim, and then havdala. Beis Hillel, I say to that, Ner ubisamim mazon vehavdala. According to that, Beis Hillel say borei mera'ish, then you say borei ubisamim, then bench, and then you say havdala. So according to Rav Meir, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both hold that birchas mazon is not mentioned first. Okay, so what? Vehasam bebraisa katani, but in the braisa over there, what did the braisa say? Im ein lo ela kos echad manich ol achar mazon. He leaves the cup until after he benches, and mashal shon kul achrav, and he says them all after benching. So again, so we see that according to this, then it can't be that that's Shitas Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel are assuming that you're not benching first, whereas the Braisa, it says that you first bench. So obviously it can't be Rabbi Meir in this Yito. So the Gemara says, you're right, Shmami not the Beit Shammai, he valiba Rabbi Yehuda. So we see from here that Braisa is in fact according to Beit Shammai and according to Rabbi Yehuda. So then, now that we've established that this really is the Shita of Beit Shammai, then again, why is there a chiluk? Why on Friday night does Beit Shammai say that I first say Kiddush, and then I say Bor Per Gafen, whereas Motzei Shabbos, I first say Bor Per Gafen, and then say Avdallah. The order should follow the same logic. So the Gemara says, Makom Akam Kasha, so really, there's still Stir on Beit Shammai. So the Gemara answers now, Kasavri Beit Shammai, Shani Elu Yoma, Me'apuke Yoma. There's a fundamental difference. Beit Shammai says there's a fundamental difference between bringing in Shabbos and leaving Shabbos. What's the difference? Elu Yoma Kama Dibakdim Le'adav. We always know that Tosef Shabbos, we want to bring in Shabbos as early as possible. The earlier, the better. However, Apuke Yoma Kama Nachin Le'adav. When it comes to Motzei Shabbos, we want to extend Shabbos as much as possible. So by saying the Bor Per Gafen, even though think about it, it's mamish a few seconds. Well, hopefully more than a few seconds to say the bracha, but still, it's not a lot of time, but still we want to show that we want to keep Shabbos as much as possible. So we say the Bor Per Gafen first, and then we don't want to show that Shabbos is a burden, so we first say Bor Per Gafen, and only after that we'll say Havdalah, even though, and that will take precedence over getting the Chashivas Hayom, and that is what we're assuming is Shitas Beit Shammai. So now the Gemara asks though, Vesavri Beit Shammai Brekas Amazon to Una Kos, does Beit Shammai really hold that benching requires a cup of wine in the Brisa? That's what it seemed to assume. However, that's going to be a stira. Our Mishnah, that's none. Our Mishnah said, seems to indicate the opposite, that Brekas Amazon does not in a Kos. How do I know that? Our Mishnah says, if they brought wine to him after the meal, again, after the meal means before your bench, but after the meal you're finished eating. So the Mishnah says, Imelo Elo Kos, if you only have one cup of wine, Beit Shammai Omer Mevarach Al Yain, just have the wine over there and finish it up, and then you could bench, seemingly not over a cup of wine. So the Gemara says, my love, the Mevarach Lev, doesn't that seem to indicate what we just said, that you are drinking it fully and you're not having any more to bench with, so you're done with your cup of wine? So the Gemara says, no, lo, the Mevarach Lev, Menachle, so that you're gonna make a bracha over the wine, but you're gonna leave enough to bench over it and basically have enough to Mevarach Al Kos. So the Gemara says, but what do we mean? You're going to make it, when are you making the bracha and leaving it over? So the Gemara was assuming now that you were making the bracha, not drinking any of it, and leaving it over for the benching. However, the Gemara is saying now, someone who makes the bracha has to drink it right away. So, meaning, if you have to taste the wine, so how could you assume that he makes the bracha, he doesn't drink the wine, and you save it, and then you make the bracha afterward, and then you wait till you bench the whole benching, and then you drink it. So the Gemara says, no, you must be right, the time late. So he had a little bit. Again, so the Gemara assumes that you didn't have anything, and the Gemara says you can't be. The Gemara says he must have drank a little bit, but the Gemara says, what do you mean he drank a little bit? Amar mar, tama pagmo. The moment he drinks it, that makes it a kos pagum. And a kos pagum literally means a kos that's blemished, a kos that's not fit. It's not fit for a kos shel bracha. It's like, for example, for kiddush or for those things, for benching, a person's not supposed to use a kos that's pagum. And if the moment someone drinks from it, he has made it blemished because it's not as good of a cup anymore because someone has drinking from it, right? If I serve a cup of wine in a restaurant, I would never give someone already drink from. So over here also, when it comes to the kosher mitzvah, you're not allowed to have that. So the Gemara says, you're right. The time lebiyadis. So the Gemara assumes now that this is the case where you're supposed to pour it into your hand and you'll drink it from your hand. So you're not drinking it directly from the cup and you're not making the cup pagum. Rather, you're keeping the cup in its status and only pouring it onto your hand. So the Gemara says that doesn't help you. Because now we're assuming that we only had one kos. And we're assuming that it was a mitzumtzum. It was exactly the shir vias. And the moment I pour a little bit into my hand, I have then lowered the shir. The moment I spilled the hand into my, I spilled the wine into my hand, I have lowered the shir of the revius. A revius is approximately, a revius, it depends which sheet, or Moshe, around 3.5 ounces, according to Chazon Ish, more like 5. Either way, that shir, we're assuming, was the exact amount that you had when you're making the kos shel bracha. So the Gemara answers, no, not bishlei tfei mishure. So no, it means that you had more than the shir, so that's why you were pouring it onto you're allowed to drink some before the benching, and really you had enough, you still had a revius, you still had your 3.5 ounces when you were benching. The Gemara says, but v'hayim ein kos el kos katani. The Mishnah says that you only have one cup, implying that you only have the shear of one cup, the amount of one cup, and not more than that. So how is it again that I'm allowed to pour from this one cup? So the Gemara answers, no, tre lo have mechad nafish. It doesn't have enough to have, let's say, Moshe's shear, 7 ounces, you had 4.5 ounces, 5 ounces. So if I only have 5 ounces, it's not enough for two cups, yet it's still more than then so I can still pour an ounce in a little bit, drink that amount, and then make the benching over the cup that's not pagum when I have it, when I still have 3.5 ounces. So the Gemara says though, V'hatani Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya taught in Reb Raisa that Beit Shammai Omer, Beit Shammai says, Mevarach al hayayin v'shoseh, Varachach mevarachach b'rech ha-mazon. You say the bracha over the wine and then you drink it, and then afterwards you say b'rech ha-mazon without a cup. So this Raisa is pretty clear that you're not making a birkas amazon a la kos, and that was according to him explaining shitas Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, you're right, we're stuck, and this is an answer the Gemara does not like to give, but sometimes it says this, elatrei tanaim v'leiv de Beit Shammai, that the machlokas tanaim, two tanaim were presenting different versions of what they understood of shitas Beit Shammai, whether or not you need to have a kos, meaning the Braisa assumed that you do need a kos, and Rabbi Chiya quoted over here, and our Mishnah assumed you would not need a kos. And that's the Gemara's maskana with regards to Shitas Beit Shammai. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the second machlokas in the Mishnah by saying Beit Shammai Omrim when it comes to the hands, right? When a person in the Lashon of the Mishnah, just to quote the Mishnah says that you first wash your hands and then you pour the cup of wine. You don't need to wash your hands again. And you could go straight into the meal. And Beis Hillel said, no, Mosgen HaSukos, you first pour your cup of wine, and then you wash your hands afterwards. So the Gemara is going to analyze this whole machlokes with the Braisa. The Braisa says, Tanu Rabbanan, we taught in a Braisa, Beit Shammai Omrim Notli Adayim, we first wash our hands in order to, right, that's a din der Rabbanan, that you have to wash your hands before you have bread. I guess now we already introduced that halacha. The halacha is that first, we have to take a full step back into the Tuma Vitara over here. You need to just have a 2-minute introduction over here. There's a concept of Avatuma. Avatuma is Mitame, person, and also can be Mitame Kalim, can be Mitame, dishes and everything like that, and also food and drink. That's an Avatuma. A Rishon Latuma, someone who touched an Avatuma, let's say. So that can only be Mitame food and drink, and it would not be Mitame a person. And now, that Rishon Latuma, again, so meaning it touches a person, nothing happens to the person. However, it can be Metame a Shini onto other foods. So for Rishon, if you have, let's say, a piece of bread, that's a Rishon and touches another piece of bread, it'll make that bread Shini. And that Shini is also Posel the Truma. That Posel's Truma. A Shini Latuma Posel's Truma. So when it comes to Stam Yadayim, there was a gezira. It's one of the Yurches Gezeros in the Gemara in Shabbos. So we assume that all Yadayim are postless as a Trumas, and that is the reason that we say Stam Yadayim, even meaning not just a Sheni Latuma, but even Stam Yadayim, we assume is postal the Truma, and that's the whole reason we wash our hands all the time now is because of Truma in the times when people were Makbid on Tuma Vitaro, which is why we wash our hands, besides for the Sodos HaPikabal, just the regular Pasha Din, as this Gzera never changed, and we assume that all Yadayim are Shnios, and that's why a person has to wash his hands before he has bread. So again, so you have to wash your hands, and then v'achakach mozgin es hakos, and afterwards you pour the cup of wine, and you drink the cup of wine. Okay? And then you would have bread, according to Beit Shammai, you don't have to wash again for when you're gonna have the bread, because your hands are already clean from before when you washed before the wine. Shema tomer mozgin es hakos tchilas. Now there's this explanation of why Beit Shammai held what they held, because if you assume that we're gonna pour the drink of the cup first before we wash for bread, there's gonna be a problem. What's the problem? There's a concern that the liquid on the outside of the cup is going to wash the person's unwashed hands. And a person's unwashed hands, like we said before, are considered tamei midera banan, right? When the yudcha gzeres of bishamai. So then what's going to happen after that? Then v'yachzer v'yitmos the kos, and they're going to come and they're going to make the kos tamei. Because anything that is, and the Mishnah says that anything that would invalidate Truma, meaning any Sheni, when it comes to liquids, they are going to make it like a Rishon. Anything that, when it comes to, that would be normally a Sheni, Tame Lios Rishon, when it comes to a liquid. The reason is because of, we're afraid that liquids of a Zav, which are really an Avatuma, those are going to transport Tuma Midar Raisa onto other things, meaning onto Truma and invalidate Midaraisa. So therefore we have this gzera of all liquids. If a person's hands are wet, if they come into contact with that liquid on the outside of the cup will come a Rishon, and that's going to transmit the Tuma onto a person's hand and make the cup on the outside tame on a derabanan. Again, and this would only make the outside of the cup tame, meaning the rabbanan don't make the inside of the cup tame. However, the outside of the cup is going to be tame, and Beit Shammai is going to assume that there'd be an iser to have an outside of the cup be tame. Again, this is obviously all where the dinim of Tuma Vitara are applicable. Now, meaning not nowadays. Well, that's a shaykh shayla. The Chazanish has a whole deal about that, but Pashtas is not so much nogea nowadays. Asks, the Gemara says, V'lit mo yodam lakos, but wait a second. According to Beit Shammai, how did we get to this? We assumed that the liquid was going to touch your hands, or it's going to touch the coast. Why don't we just say your hands are problematic? Your hands are shnios, and they're touching directly the cup, and that's going to create the tumah. So the Gemara says, "Yadayim shnios." Say no. Unwashed hands are shnios. They're only a sheni l'tuma. Ve'in sheni osu shlishi b'chulin el yadei mashkin. A sheni can only create a shlishi. In the case of chulin, only if you have a liquid medium. If you don't have a liquid medium, then it's not going to make a shlishi on chulin. Again, that's why by kachim would be different. So that's why we're saying dafka chulin. And the when it comes to, if you have a liquid, again, because we said before, the liquids were more machmir with, and it makes it like a rishon, then it could create a sheni onto the cup and create an issue with the cup. Now the Gemara, okay, is going to continue Beis Hillel's reasoning. Beis Hillel says, Beis Hillel, Omrei Mo's going to sakos, we first pour the cup of wine, and then we drink it, and afterwards we wash our hands. Shimata not le'adayim t'chilef, we assume that you should wash your hands first, before you drink the cup of wine, then what's going to happen? Gzera shem yitmu mashkin shabiyadayim achmasakos. There's a gzera that's going to be, it's going to be worse to do that, like Beis Shammai says, because there's a concern that the liquid on your hands, meaning any water that's going to remain on your hands after washing, and they're not going to be dried properly, then what's going to be the problem? They're going to contact they're going to have tumah from the coast, v'yachzer v'yitmu siyadayim, and then they're going to be metame a person's hands, and then a person's hands are going to be invalid for having the bread afterwards that he would be having. Again, because the water is a rishon, and that is going to make someone's hands tame, and then a person who then washed, meaning that's useless, because you can to be bread, the whole point is to not make your hands a sheni. And therefore, according to them, you've ruined the whole point of washing your hands, because we're assuming that these liquids are going to touch your hands, and then if their hands are still wet, then it's a problem to have the bread in that state. So Tosos just asked a question according to Beis Hillel, though, then why aren't we assumed that all the time you wash your hands, we're afraid your hands aren't going to be dry? So meaning, doesn't the same concern exist every single time that you're washing for bread? So Tosos says, maybe over here, since you know you're not washing for bread, you're not going to be so careful about it to make sure your hands are dry. But just to point out, the whole point of washing your Netil Sidayim nowadays is to make sure that we get rid of the issue of the Sheni Latuma. If your hands are still wet, that's extremely problematic. A person has to make sure that his hands are thoroughly dried in order to have bread nowadays. Okay? The Gemara asks though, V'nit me kos Sidayim. According to them, they ask the same question over here, why don't we assume that the tumah goes directly from the hands? Why did Beis Shammai again have the same understanding that the tumah first has to hit the water and then going to touch your hands? Why don't we just assume that the coast to your hands is problematic? Directly from the coast to your hands is going to be the issue. So Gemara says, "Ein kli metame adam." That we assume that no utensil can transmit tumah into a person. You need the liquid medium to create it, because a liquid midirabanan would be like a rishon latumah, making your hands a sheni. If you don't have that, we assume ein sheni yoshishishi by a person's hands. So the Gemara says, v'nitme lemashkin shebatocha, but why don't we assume that the cup is going to transmit tumah to the liquid that's inside of it? Meaning, how does Beis Hillel allow you to have, to drink from a cup that's tame? That's a problem over here. So the Gemara says, no, you were dealing with the utensil, meaning the cup, that's the outer side of the cup is tame. And so what? The tochotor vegabo tame. That its inside is still, it's still tahor, and only the outside is the problem over here. So since only the outside is a problem, again, we assume that that's not an issue. And according to Beis Shammai is going to disagree in a moment. We're going to say Beis Shammai really holds that having a cup that's outside his tame is an issue. Disnan, klishinam achra v'mashkin, a cup whose outside became tame through liquids, achorav tameim, the outside remains tame. However, tocho ve'ozno v'yadav tahorin. The inside area, its rim, and also yadav, also similar, the handle, are all going to be tar. Meaning we don't mitame the other parts of it because it's only a dinder abundance. We're not going to say that the whole cup is tamer. And nitma toko, however, if the inside become tame through liquids, then nitma kula. Then we're going to assume that the entire kli is going to become tame. So over here, we're assuming that if it's only the outside of the kli, that's not an issue. It's not going to make the inside of the kli tame. Okay, the Gemara continues that Makalifagi, what is exactly the sort of machlokas over here between Bisham and Bishilel? So the Gemara answers the following. Bishamai Savri also Samash Paklishan Ma'akar Mashkin. Like we said before, the Ikir sort of what the machlokas is whether or not a person is allowed to use a kli whose the outside is tame through a liquid. According to Zera Mishum Nitotos, are we going to assume that some drops are going to hit your hands and then make your hands tame? And so Bishamai really is assuming that that concern is valid. And therefore, we're afraid it's going to splash in the cup and touch your hands. And that's why we don't allow you to use a cup that's outside is tame. And then, because of that, Bishamai also assumed that there is no issue with having, since they assume that the outside of the cup is never going to become tame, then there's no reason to make a gzera shema yitnu mashkim shebadayim bakos, because the hands are never going to become tame from the cup that has an outside that's tame, because the outside's never going to be tame according to them, because it's usher to use such a cup. So therefore, you don't have Bishilel's whole concern. However, Bishilel savrei, Bishilel hold mutter l'shtamash b'kli shenem makar v'mashkin. They assume that it's mutter to use a kli that's outside became tame through a liquid, and amrin etzos is lo shriche, but they are assuming that when to have it splash out and have little drops splash out from the outside onto your hand, that's not going to be so common. However, the second chash is more problematic. However, we are afraid that the outside of the cup, if it's tame, a person shouldn't wash his hands before them, because maybe the liquid on his hands, meaning the water which he used to wash, is not going to be properly dried, and then it's going to have tuma from the cup, and then that tuma then is going to invalidate his whole purpose of washing and create a problem. Okay, so then the Gemara says, "Davar Acher Techav L'Tzalim B'Zusud." Another reasoning why Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel said what they said, disagreeing with Beit Shammai, was that you, right away after one washes, you should go into the meal and eat bread. And here you're washing, you're drinking first the Bor Per Gafa, and you're making a hafsek, so it's not a good idea. So the Gemara asks, "So my Davar Acher, why does Beit Hillel feel the need to give a second reason why they're disagreeing with Beit Shammai? Was their first reason not enough?" The Gemara says, "Hachal Kamrei Lo Beit Hillel Beit Shammai." No, really, the Beit Hillel saying to Beit Shammai in this Devar Acher, Lidit Chud Amrisu, even according to your Svara, Asr L'Shtamash B'Kli Shachar of Tmein, that you hold that it's Asr to use a Kli who's outside his Tamei, Tegzir Meshim Nitotus Afilo Achi Adifa, even though you said that, it's still, you should follow my Psak, that you should wash only after you drink the cup. Why? Tekef and Tzalim Su'uda, because that Chumra should take precedence over your Gzira. That the Chumra of Tekef and Tzalim Su'uda, right away, after washing, a person should have the meal, that Chumra should take precedence over your Chumra to be Choshech for the Nitzotzos, for the drops spilling out of your hand onto the cup. That should be more of a chshash, that you should first be more choshesh to wash right when you're about to go to the meal. And that's why they said the Davar Acher is another reasoning to disagree with Beis Shammai. So the third machlokas of the Mishnah now. The third machlokas, we said that Beit Shammai says, Omrim Mekanach Yeromapa Manecha Lashulchan, that you use the napkin that you're drying with, you should put it on the table. And Beis Hillel says, Omrim Alakesis, you should put it on the cushion in front of you, the one that you're eating with next to that cushion. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokas. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Bishamai says that after one washes his hands for bread, he wipes his hands with the napkin and manicha ala shulchan, and you put it on the table. Sheima tomer ala kesis, if you put it on the cushion, what's the problem of here? Then gzera shami yit mashkin shemamapa machmas hakesis. Then we're afraid that the liquids on the napkin are going to get tame from the keses, the cushion, which is assumed, let's say the keses was a rishon or shein latuma. Now we said anything that's a liquid can make it come back to become like a Rishon Latuma. So that's going to be like a Rishon Latuma, and then Yachzir Yitzma Yizayim, and then that Rishon will make your hands Shnios, and then it will pass your hands from being able to continue to eat. So the Gemara asks, though, the same question that we've asked, I don't know why the Gemara has to keep asking us. Vinit Me Kesis Lamapa, why don't we assume that directly the cushion is going to transmit Tuma directly to the napkin and make it a Sheni? So the Gemara says that we said already, Ein Kli Metame Kli, that the only Gzera of Chazal was the liquid. We never made a Gzera that a Kli should be Metame Kli. Because again, medaresa, no kli can ever be metame kli. So the only time is through liquid when it's mashke azav. That's why we have gzira on all mashkim to make it like a rishon because of mashke azav. But when it comes to a utensil, there's no such thing. So therefore, we never goes there on a kli metame kli to make it a sheni. So the Gemara says though, v'netame kesis legavra gufe. But why don't we assume that the cushion can the person sitting on it right? Why doesn't he become a sheni through sitting on it? So Gemara gives the same answer, just regards to a person as well. Ain klimatame adam, that a vessel, a utensil, can never be metame, a person, to make him tame only through the mashkim, or if it's actually only an ava tuma from, if it's like a zav set on it, then obviously it would be. But a rishon latuma can never make a person a sheni latuma. Okay, now the Gemara continues in the Brice. The Gemara says, Avisilo omer malakestes, shadavka put the hands that you're using to wash your hands, to clean your hands off during the meal, on the cushion and not on the table. Shema to omer alashulchan, why, what's the problem with putting it on the table? So Avisilo explain, gzira shem yitma mashkev shemap mamachmas alashulchan. This is going to create a concern that the liquids on the napkin are going to become tame on the because of the table being a region of the sheni. And then what? The yavsav yitmos ha'ochlin, and then they're going to then make the food tame on the table. And if they make the food tame on the table, then that's a problem of having food that's tame. So then it's going to ruin all your food over there. Because again, the napkin is wet. And then the wet napkin is going to create the tuma, is going to transmit the tuma from the table and create a rishon on your hands and making them a sheni, therefore making it problematic. So the Gemara says, why don't we just assume, why don't we assume that the table is going to make the food tame? So the Gemara gives the same answer. So then actually here we're talking about food, not actually kalim. So here there actually is a difference. So we assume over here that if the shulchan is a sheni, then we assume that a sheni is not, is also shlisha b'chulin, only time it can make it, if we're talking about, we're not talking about truma over here. We're talking about a chulin, and then doesn't make it a shlishi, only if you had a liquid medium. Again, if because of the gzeras, we assume that liquid makes it like a rishon, and make it like back to a sheni when you have a liquid involved. If you don't have a liquid involved, and you only have an ochel to an ochel would only make it, would not be a shlishi in chulin, we're not machmir that far. However, again, when it comes to Trumar, there is going to be an issue. So the Gemara is going to say, "B'maiku mifligi." So what exactly are we arguing about over here? So the Gemara says, "B'shamay savri asur l'shtamish b'shulchan sheni." B'shamay hold that it's asur to use a shulchan that's sheni. Gzeir mishum ochle truma, because if a truma, Doraisa is going to have a problem that a sheni is also shlishi. That if a person puts bread on a table, of it puts truma bread on a table that's a sheni, that will passel his truma. However, Beisilo says it's not a problem to use a shulchan which is a sheni. Those who eat truma are careful, and they're never going to. They're always going to find out if the table is a sheni. So the Gemara says, "Davar acher ain't until sedayim lechulin min haTorah." However, Beisilo says different svara. Then until sedayim are never daraisa when it comes to washing your hands for chulin. However, so the Gemara is going to assume, okay, if the Gemara asks, my davar acher, what is the need for the second mentioning of another nekuda for Bishamai to disagree with Beis Hillel? The Gemara says, halacha kamrei, lehu Beis Hillel Bishamai. This is what Beis Hillel saying to Bishamai. V'chi timru mai shna gabe ochlen dechashinan. If you're going to ask, what's the difference between food as opposed to mai shna gabe dam dechashinan? Again, according to Beis Hillel, you're going to say the following. The table is going to create a problem of ochlen, so we're choshish for ochlen. But what about the hands? Why weren't the goes around the cushion? The cushion, we said, also can make your hands tummy. That's why Beis Shammai said to put it on the table in the first place, because they assume the table is going to be tahor. But there's still a concern on the cushion that your hands are going to become tameh. So then says the Gemara, you're right, and that's why Beis Tzela has to come onto the second svara. Filo hachadifa, the second svara is better to put it on the table as opposed to putting it on the cushion rather than putting it on the table. The inatil tzedayim lechulin min haTorah, because the concept of a person being able to have his hands be different than his body. If a person's hands are tamei and making a sheni, there's no such thing mitar reisa. So therefore, the whole idea of netilas sedayim is derabanan, as opposed to food being mitame. Food does exist on certain levels of deraisa. So the Gemara says, "V'ayi tamu och again." So in netilas sedayim d'chulin min haTorah, mutav shi tamu sedayim d'leislu ikar mitaraisa v'ayi tamu ochen d'leislu ikar mitaraisa. Because we assume that there is a deraisa law again. Chulin, if they became, if a rishon touched a rishon food touched chulin on a sheni food, it would make the sheni tamei, even midaraisa. So that's the machlokas over here. Now the Gemara continues. We have a fourth machlokas again between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, which is mechabdin and sabayis, and achakach nosadayim, nosadayim, achakach mechabdin and sabayis. When do you clean up the floor, on the floor under you? Do you first wash my machronim, or do you first clean the floor? So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, We're going to explain the machlokas over here. At the end of the, you first clean the room, then you wash your hands, my machronim. If you're going to wash your hands, my machronim, you're going to wash your hands onto the food, and then you're ruining actively the food. There's an iser to actively ruin the food. So the Gemara says, but Beit Shammai doesn't hold that washing the hands, that my machronim, first you should wash your hands and then clean the house. Why not? My tama b'shum pirun. So because the leftover pieces of bread, we're afraid of it. So this whole my tamim mishum pirim is very difficult. This seems to be, the Gemara said, nim tzat hamaser's ochen. So the Bach Mikoach that takes out this whole gear. So, okay, fine. About the my tamim mishum pirim. Either way, the Gemara is saying the same point, that we're, that b'sham es choshesh, you're going to ruin the food. No, if you're using a waiter that's a Tamil Chacham, he knows the halacha, then what's he going to do? Then he's cleaning up, he knows, no tapirun sheshman kazayas, going to take all of the food that has a kazayas of bread and remove them from the floor underneath you, maneach pirun sheshman kazayas. And if there's less than a kazayas that are there, then that's not a problem. So then if you wash your hands, that wouldn't be an issue. So the Gemara says, this is a raya from Rabbi Yochanan that says that there's no issue if a person is ruining less than a kazayas amount of food. There's not an issue. There's not the issue that we have before. Only issue is really to ruin actively more than a kazayas of food. So the Gemara says, "V'maykum miflegi b'shilah savri asur l'shtamish b'shamash ar." So what's the issur machlokas with this machlokas? B'shamay hold that it's usur to use a weight base. Sorry, Beis Hillel's hold that it's usher to use a waiter who is not holding an halacha. And therefore, if you, meaning someone who's ignorant in halacha. So if you have someone who's a Talmud Chacham, he's gonna know to remove all of the bread right away. However, Bishamay Savrei, Mutalish Tamish Bishamash Amaris. Bishamay hold that it's permitted to use someone who doesn't know the halachas, and therefore he's gonna accidentally leave the bread. And if that's the case, you're going to have a problem. The Gemara now says, how are we gonna pass in this? Shailam, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chaninam, Rabbi Huna, Bekule Perkin Halacha Beis Hillel. And all these machloksim that we said in this parak, the halacha, it follows Beis Hillel. Bar meha, the lach of us Beis Shammai, that you're allowed to use an Amma Aretz, and therefore you have to be choshesh that you should first clean up the floor and then have and then do the Mai Machronim. Again, they're assuming that they don't have a Mai Machronim onto the floor. That's not, if you don't do that, then it would be Nisha, obviously. Then where it says Rabbi Yoshe Masna Ibchar, Rabbi Yoshe had a different girsa. He held that on this machlokes, Beis Shammai's and Beis Hillel's shitas were reversed. That Beis Shammai was the one who said that you should first. That you don't have to be choshesh about having the Amma Aretz, that you have to have Amma Aretz be your waiter, and Beisilah said the other is, Avahad Namah Halacha Beisilah. So again, there's no argument, Halacha Lamaisa, with regards to this. They're on the same page. Focus of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that what? Beit Shammai Omer Ner Mazon. So the Gemara asks them, Rav Huna Bar Avuda Ikla Beit Rava. So this is a story, actually. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Bar Avuda came to the house of Rava, Chazi L'Rava, Devaracha B'Samim Bereshi. So the Rava made the Bracha B'Samim first. Amar Lei, Michti, Beit Shammai B'Tilal, Amma Orlo, Pligi, Beit Shammai B'Tilal, don't disagree even with the Halacha, that the Bracha of Moray Ha'ish should come before the Bracha of Orban B'Samim. And you did like, neither sheet did this, none. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ner Mazim B'Samim Avdala. They said that first you make the Bracha on Ner, and then Branch, and then B'Samim Avdala. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ner Mazim B'Samim Avdala. We see that according to both sheetas, though, you should say the bracha on Ner first. So says the Gemara. Ani Rava Basrei Rava responded to him, Zodi Rav Meir. That's the way version of Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we saw that the Braisa quoted before. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo nechlek b'sham b'tzilel al mazul shebetchila v'avdala shebasov al ma nechleku al ma'or v'al b'samim shebetshamay omrim al ma'or v'achach b'sham b'tzilel omrim al b'samim v'achach ba'or. So again, we quoted this Braisa already. Rabbi Yehuda says that the only machlokas is what the order for what comes first. Is it b'samim or is it a'ish? So according to Beis Hillel's version of Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Hillel says that you say b'samim v'akakach me'or. So you make the bracha of b'samim first. And now we see that Rabbi Yochanan said that we follow Rabbi Beis Hillel aliba Rabbi Yehuda, which would mean that you say b'samim first, and that's how we pask, and that's what we do as well. Says the Gemara, Beit Shammai omrim shebar me'or ha'ish, and Beis Hillel says that you say borim me'or ha'ish. So says the Gemara, now what's the machlokas? Amar Rav b'bara kuli amal lo pigi de bara mashma. So the Gemara says when it comes to the word bara, everyone agrees that it's lashon of avar. Ki pligi b'bore. When Beis Hillel says lashon of Bori is that Hashem will create in the future. That's why you don't say it. You don't say a bracha. Hashem is will create future in the create the fire in the future. We're praising Hashem for having created the fire. And Beis Shammai says, Beis Hillel said, no, Bore also connotes the past tense as well, and that's why you're able to say Bore. Why that's Adifa and the Tosas. Says the Gemara now. How could it be that Beis Shammai hold that Bore is only Lashon of Avar? We're going to quote three psukim that seem to include Bore is not Lashon Asim. Says Amar Yotze or Bore Choshesh, Hashem creates light. It creates darkness. Yotze or Bore Ruach. So again, Hashem is creating, it creates winds. Bore Shemayim Benoteim. He creates the Shemayim and everything in them. So it says all these Bore are things that Hashem created in the past. So obviously it's not referring to the future. So it says in Gemara, Amar Yosef, Bore Bore, Kuli Amalo Pligi Debar Mashma. Everyone agree that those are creating in the past? Ki Pligi Bimor Umeore. Why Bore? That's not the Ikr Machlokes. The whole Machlokes is Bore Maore Haish or Bore Moor Haish. The Lashon of Beishama Beisila. The Beishama Savre Chadinura Ikr Benura. There's only one fire. Therefore you say Bore, Bore, not Maore Haish, rather Moor Haish. So then, and Beis Hillel say no, that there's many fires. We know that there's many colors in the fire. It says red, white. We know that this is when you're no longer. There's many colors to fire. So that's what Beis Hillel hold, that you should say more ore ha'ish in the plural. Tanim rahachui. We have a brisa supporting Rav Yose's explanation. Amar Beis Hillel beishamai harbe ma'oros yesh ba'or. There are many fires in a light and many lights to a fire, illuminations of fire. Therefore, there are many lights, and therefore, there you say more ore ha'ish. Adkan for today.